Being who you are, gracious, merciful, ever loving, ever kind. We exalt you tonight. We thank you for the privilege of knowing you and walking with you, fellowshipping with you. We thank you for the awesome privilege of being here tonight, of being together once again. We thank you for the testimonies of your goodness, your greatness. And we thank you for this moment. Thank you for your word that always makes a difference in our lives. Thank you because even tonight I speak as you enable me to speak. And minister as you make possible. Thank you because as the words go forth, so does your spirit, so does the glory, so does the unction, confirming every word. We give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we'll change our structure a bit on Thursdays. I will pray for 30 minutes first. We'll go back to pray for 30 minutes. And for those who want prayer meetings, you know, sometimes people ask you, how come we don't have prayer meeting? Just a separate day for prayer meeting, or we don't have night vigil. You know, if we ever do night vigil, it will not be for drama. Did you hear what I said? If we have night vigil, if the day comes when we're led to start night vigil, it won't be to come and do drama. We'll come, we will pray. So when people say, oh, night vigil, I went to preach at the night vigil, and I was given, 40 minutes? We were there all night. And I have 40 minutes. But they did drama. They did dance. They had music. Are you still there? When Jesus went all night, the Bible says he went to pray. So if we do night vigil, go and sleep first at home. When you come, we pray. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So for those who want to pray, then it'll be Thursday. We'll come together, we'll pray. We'll pray well, we'll pray for, if you have prayer points also, you can send them in. And it's that day we'll pray. So we're learning also how to pray in all of those ones. The other times are more intercessory. The Sunday morning is intercessory, meaning we're not praying for ourselves. But on the Thursday, we'll pray more for ourselves. Amen. First Saturday is intercessory, but that Thursday, you're coming, we'll pray. Hallelujah. And then we'll get into, so it's going to be a prayer and teaching service. Amen. And it's just barely 30 minutes, not enough. Amen. But we'll manage it. Look at someone and say, we'll manage it. Hallelujah. And that means also it will help those who, want to be able to come and join service for the teachings. And maybe, they can join us as they make their way on MixLR or whatever, listening to the prayer and praying. And if, especially those who walk on the island and all that, or who are caught in traffic, hopefully then they'll be able to join us by 6:30. 6:40, they can join us, knowing that they will still meet the service. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So I bring you greetings. We had a great time in Ibadan, having the anniversary services. It was amazing, wonderful. Amen. Celebrated God's goodness. Amen. 21 years of God's grace. Hallelujah. And I think at 25, we will do something very special. Amen. And do homecoming, where we will call all the alumni to show up. Amen. And it will be amazing. Amen. Acts chapter 19. Acts the 19th chapter. And I'm going to not conclude. I don't know. I'm trying to move from teaching on prayer, but I'm not sure that I can get past it. But today I will try to conclude on speaking in other tongues by speaking on why you should speak in other tongues. Okay? But then something else has been bubbling in my spirit, because very often I come across believers who want to pray. I come across believers, they have an interest to pray. But I also find out that they don't know how to pray. I don't know how to term what is on my mind, but it's a bit like how to pray scripturally. How to pray scripturally. And I even still had an interesting conversation with my mom this morning about that. And I just laughed, as she quoted one or two scriptures, and I laughed, that. And I see, if I also saw somebody's post, which I had to screenshot, I had to take a screenshot of those posts and save them. The intention is good. The intention is great. But I was looking at, how did this person match this scripture with this prayer point? How did this scripture result in this prayer point? They don't flow. Are you there? And the problem with that is that when we don't pray right, according to scripture, we are not going to be as effective as we should be in the place of prayer. That's why Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you ask what you will and it shall be done. So you need to base your prayer or your prayer life on the scriptures and on the right interpretation of scriptures, okay, for you to get it. So for instance, I was sharing with my mom, I said, for instance, when the Bible says you have something, he has given us, let's say what, which one? He has delivered us. Okay, he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. Another scripture says from the grip of darkness and put us in the kingdom of his dear son. I said, so if he has delivered us, we cannot pray and ask him to deliver us. Do you understand that? If the Bible says he has delivered, then I cannot pray to him and ask him to deliver me. If I do that, I'm wasting his time, I'm wasting my time and my saliva. Are you still there? And I'm actually insulting him. That's a harsh way to put it, but I'm actually insulting him. And it's simple, because if he says he has done it and I say, please do it, what have I said to him indirectly? You're a liar. Are you following what I'm saying? That's what I've said to him. If you say to me, please, when you get home, ensure that you send an email to, XYZ. And I said, okay. Then you ask me the next day, and you say, what about the email? And I say, I've sent the email. Then you say, please send the email. What have you said to me? You're a liar. I don't believe what you said. Are you there? So one, you have said I'm a liar. Two, you're telling me to please send the email will not make any email be sent. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I've already sent the email I'm going to send. I'm not going to send another one. I've already sent it, so I'm not going to do it. So I see a lot of sweat and energy being exerted. And it's a great thing that we want to pray. It's a great thing that we're passionate to pray, but it's even more important now that we use that energy correctly. Are you with me? So that if somebody is spending 30 minutes in prayer, let it be effective 30 minutes. Okay? If somebody is spending 3 hours in prayer, let it be effective 3 hours. That gets much done. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay, how many people had condensed milk? How many people had condensed milk? You know, you had condensed milk. You had condensed milk. Maybe they only used to sell in Delta. How many people, you don't know condensed milk? Or am I calling it wrongly? That tiny... very sweet. That's the best description, isn't it? Very sweet. You know, and now... I bought some porridge and it was very sweet. And I hated every spoon of it. You know, so I said to somebody, I said, I didn't like it at all. That it was too sweet. I said, maybe it's old age. When you start disliking sweet things, and you want them not to be sweet, you know. But condensed milk, the children of our nowadays, we don't know condensed milk, so... I don't see it anywhere anymore. I don't see it anywhere. But in those days, we used to just go and buy the milk and just drink. Can you imagine that? Just go and buy milk and just drink. It was so sweet, amazingly sweet. So tonight we want to have condensed milk. Amen? So meaning I'm trying to condense some great reasons why we should speak in other tongues. They are sweet reasons. Amen. But each one of them could be a teaching on its own. You know, we've spoken the last time on meats. You know, meats about speaking. I don't know if I pronounce it right. But, you know, meats. But not my mother tongue. You know, so that's M-Y-T-H-S. Meats, which is what? Popular things, but which are false. Amen. About speaking in other tongues. So that was the first bit on it. And today we are looking at why you should speak in other tongues. I actually spoke about that about 6 years ago. So Acts chapter 19. So we're going to condense it and just run through, you know, reasons why you should speak in other tongues. Acts chapter 19, just as an opener or a scripture to plug us into this. And of course, we talk about this because it's so important, okay, because speaking in tongues is, people just take it as the bit of it that, or as the characteristic of Pentecostals. But it should just be a characteristic of Christians, okay? One of the things that has never, I remember growing up in the faith, one of the things that struck me is how many times many people, especially in denominations and all that, spent their energy trying to denounce speaking in other tongues. You know, and one of the things it told me was that it must be very important. Are you there? It just told me it must be very important. It's like when, you know, somebody spends a lot of time trying to engage you and convince you that there's no God. I said, if there's no God, why are you spending so much time trying to convince me that there's no God. Even you must believe in God. Because you spend too much time trying to convince us that there's no God. Are you still there? So Acts chapter 19, verse 1, it says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. So just as a starter, it looked like, if you follow the narrative in Acts chapter 19 that we just read, it looked like Paul came there with the mindset of, you should be filled with the Holy Ghost. You understand what I'm saying? He came with the mindset, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? It's like, hey, guys, there's more. You know, so since you believed, did you get this also? You know, it's almost like if you go and they say, if you buy 2 packets of milk, we'll give you 1 plastic spoon free. Right? And then you pick 2 packets of milk and somebody say, did you get your spoon yet? Are you getting what I'm saying? You're about to step out of the shop. Say, did you get your spoon? Say, which spoon? He says, spoon, for buying 2 packets, you deserve 1 spoon. Go there. So Paul was saying, there's something that goes with this. There's something else that follows this. If you believe, then you ought to receive the Holy Ghost. So we dealt with some of that under the meats. Okay? And I'm saying that because it's like Paul was trying to emphasize to them that don't go on without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Don't go on without this. And we discovered also from last week that it's characterized by speaking other tongues. So why should I speak in other tongues? So number one reason, remember it's condensed milk tonight. So we're going to go rather fast, maybe 5-10 minutes on each one. Okay, so number one reason is because the Bible says so. Can I hear you say the Bible says so? I hope we're clear, at least for everyone who was there the first time. You are clear about the fact that the Bible says that this belongs to us today. Amen? Because one of the biggest issues people have is that they say it passed away. You know, it passed away. Or it's not for, sometimes people think it's not for everybody. We read certain scriptures, Acts chapter 2, 38, 39, you know. So after they were filled with the Holy Ghost, Peter spoke and he says, this is the promise and it's for everyone who will believe. Amen. As many as the Lord our God shall call. That's what he said. So it's for everybody. You know, it's not for a few special ones. When I was younger, there was one man who came to pray in our house. I stopped it at one man, and he's not a man of God. It turns out to be fake, you know. But it was one man, and he came there, and when he prayed, you know, knelt down, and he was praying. And after he prayed, you know, prayed all the prayer for a while, then he just broke out in tongues. And just yakabai, yakabai, and said all kinds of things and, you know, said it with some passion. And we saw him off when it was done. And I asked my father, I said, which language was that? He said, I don't know, maybe Hebrew. And I thought, babao, wow. The man spoke Hebrew. Wow. Are you still there? It's for us all. Can I have an amen? Mark chapter 16. I know you're familiar with it, but let's open it. Mark chapter 16. So number one reason why I should speak in other tongues is because what? The Bible says so. Again, when I was growing up, got born again. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I'll pray. But very often when I pray and I spend time with God, I would say to God, I want everything you have for me. I want everything you have for me. I will tell God that I don't want, if you have 10 things for me, I don't want 9. I want all the 10. Because God's plan for me is good. Amen. He says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. So whatever God has in mind for me must be good. So I wanted every single thing. So I would spend time, hours on end, praying and telling God, I want to get every single thing you have for me. And in fact, the reverse is also true. Whatever you don't have and you are not the one giving me, I don't want it. But definitely, I don't want anything that you have packaged for me to go to waste. Can I have an amen? So Mark 16, verse 17. It says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Okay, so when I was in medical school, they would teach us, and in fact, with COVID, you know, one of the quick things that needed to come out was the symptoms and the signs of COVID. How do you diagnose COVID as a clinician? So one of the things people started trying to come up with was, how do you diagnose COVID? So they say, if you see this, or if the person complains of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then also if they have, which are the signs? The signs are the things that you can see as the attending health personnel. So the things you can see for yourself are signs. The things the person complains of are called symptoms. So they can list, you know, 5, 10 symptoms that the person can complain of, and then they can list another 10 signs that you can find, okay? And sometimes they will tell you that for this condition, all you need is to find at least 5 of these 10 things that we have said the person will complain about. I mean, if the person complains of 5 out of 10 of these, any 5, and then you find any 5 of these, then you can diagnose it. Meaning that if I don't find 5, of the symptoms and 5 of the signs, maybe I found only 2 symptoms and I found 3 of the signs, I cannot say that is what it is. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Now, the Bible says here, this is how you will identify the believers. Okay? This is how you're going to identify them. In fact, as a matter of fact, also in medicine, sometimes we say, even though there are 10 symptoms, 10 signs, they will say to you, any 5. However, if you see this particular one, it is certain that this is the condition. So there are certain signs that will call them what they will call pathognomonic, meaning that this one is a sure banker. If you ever find this, that's the condition you are dealing with. Okay? But here the Bible lists for us a few things. And it says, if you are going to identify the believer, these signs will follow the believer. Now, if the Bible says that these are things by which I am going to be identified, I want all of them. Did you understand my logic? You understand the logic? That if it says these signs will follow the believer, I don't want you to find 3 out of 5. I don't want you to be doubtful and be wondering, is he a Christian? You know, there are some people that you wonder. When somebody says a Christian, you say, now, wow. You know, well, it means that it's confusing your identity of who a Christian should be. You know, because when you say a Christian, he smokes in the AM. You say, his own Christianity is something else. Are you getting what I'm saying? So he says these signs will follow them that believe. And that also means, even though we are speaking about speaking in other tongues, one of the things he says we will find is that he says we will find that they will speak with new tongues. It's one of the ways we will identify them. I want it too. Amen. He says they will cast out devils. I want that too. I want people to see every single thing. I said it before. Somebody said if you are arrested for being a Christian, would they have enough evidence to convict you? or they start searching for the evidence. And somebody say, I know he has a sticker somewhere. I think it's the other bag that he carries that has a sticker. Then he say, no, it's because my brother gave me the bag. Oh. The sticker came with the bag. Are you there? But these signs will follow them that believe. He says, in my name, they will cast out demons. So you ought to be a demon caster. Are you hearing me? They will speak with new tongues. We should know you for speaking tongues. So one reason why I should do it is because the Bible says that the believers will do so. Can I have an amen? Never ever. You know, one of the things that I've also come to accept is that I don't have to even understand everything that God says before I accept it. Are you with me? As long as I can find it in the Bible, as long as I know that it's in the Bible, I rightly interpret it, and I can tell that this is what the Bible teaches, I want it. I want to obey it. I want to have it. I want to do it, even if I don't understand it. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. There are many things that I just look. Once I'm reading the Bible, I don't understand how anybody will live that way, but immediately I can find it. I say to God, God, help me, because I'm going to do this. I'm going to obey this. Hallelujah. You know, one scripture I saw, I don't remember where that is right now. It says, speak evil of no man. Ever read that before? And I said to God, that's a difficult one. I said, but I'm going to do it. I'm work in progress. Are you still there? I'm work in progress, but I'll get there. So I don't understand how anybody can live that way. I don't understand the full ramifications of speak evil of no man. But I told myself, I'm going to get there. I have chosen to believe it because the Bible says so. Are you still there? Number two reason why you should speak in other tongues. Because it edifies you. It edifies you. Open to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We'll read two scriptures. So we are condensing it. There may be things you know before, but we are just condensing them and make them come together in a nice way. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14, are you there? Verse 4. It says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies. Can I hear you say edifies? He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. But the emphasis is that first phrase, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. The word edify there means to charge. To charge. He who speaks in a tongue charges himself. I always say, thank God for today. Thank God for the day that we live in, because we understand the word charge. Can I hear you say charge? He who speaks in a tongue charges himself. Because we all deal with phones. Amen. And the charge means what? The original carries the same meaning or implication, which is to charge yourself like a battery. Charge yourself like a battery. I always say, you know, if you pray in tongues long enough, you will never have a bad day or a down day. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you pray in tongues long enough, there will never be a day where you are down and depressed and all of that, because the praying tongues will shake it all off. Are you still there? Because your spirit man will be charged. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, he said, now a man's spirit will sustain him in his infirmities. A man's spirit, I think that's Proverbs 18:14, if I'm right. He says a man's spirit will sustain his infirmities. The word infirmities is the word weakness. A man's spirit, so how he is on the inside, the real man, the spirit man is the real man. He said how that man is, how strong that spirit man is, carries or sustains the man, the entirety of that man in his weaknesses. It sustains him all through. And the Bible tells us one way to build the strong spirit, it says, charge yourself up how? By speaking in other tongues. Can I have an amen? So second reason why you should speak in other tongues is what? It edifies you. And like I said before, when your phone is low on battery charge, some functions don't work. Are you there? You try to put on video, it won't come on. You try to put on camera, it's not coming on. And then if you have a good phone, it tells you what? Battery too low. Battery too low for it to function the way it should. When your battery is too low, you can't function the way you should as a believer. Are you there? Now open to Jude, the book of Jude. Jude chapter 20. Jude chapter 20. I was trying to make sure you are awake. Jude 20 verse 1. I hope you are not still looking for chapter 20. Jude has only one chapter. Praise the Lord. So Jude 1 verse 20. The Bible says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, verse 21, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I read it too because I saw a connection. Verse 20 is good enough. And I read you verse 20 in the Amplified. Okay? Verse 20 in the Amplified. The Bible says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Make progress. Can I hear you say, make progress? Build yourself like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. So as you pray, like we said, you are charging yourself. So the battery is going 10%, 20%, 30%, 40%. You are building yourself. You are making progress spiritually. You are growing. You are becoming more and more and more on the inside. Hallelujah. I speak in other tongues. Or why you should speak in other tongues is because it builds you up. That's the word edify. It builds you up. Can I have an amen? And it says what in verse 21? I saw that it's a connection. It's a continuation of verse 20. It says, as I do that, I keep myself in the love of God. It has two dimensions. The love of God, if I keep myself in the love of God, then my passion for God stays intact. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And as a matter of fact, grows. Not only that, my ability to walk in love also stays intact. So I discovered that when you pray in other tongues, for instance, it's very difficult to be offended. Are you still there? When you pray in other tongues well enough, it's difficult to be offended. And when you begin to fly off the handle, you know what they call fly off the handle? When before somebody says one, you have said two, three, four. Check. You are not praying as you should. Hallelujah. People have become quiet now when I was saying that. I said hallelujah. Amen. Number three. Why you should speak in other tongues? It improves your sensitivity to God. It increases your sensitivity to God and the Holy Spirit. Oh well. God is the Holy Spirit. Amen. It improves your sensitivity. Can I hear you say it improves my sensitivity? It means there's less confusion. Okay? There's less confusion because one of the areas where people become confused is they say, oh, you know, something came to my mind, but I'm not sure whether it's just me. or is the Holy Ghost that is leading me? You want to be surer, pray in other tongues. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You want to be more certain, spend more time praying in other tongues. And better still, stay prayed up. Amen? You'll find out that your sensitivity will heighten. It will increase. You will know easily when the Holy Ghost is leading you to do something. When something is the will of God, you will pick up things. Easy. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 14. So it increases your sensitivity when you pray in other tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, are you there? Look at verse 14. 14, okay? For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is what? Unfruitful. So let me explain it this way. When I pray in other tongues, my spirit is what is involved and is what is being exercised. Are you still there? My understanding, my mind, is not the one really at work. It's my spirit that is at work. Okay? And I always use the illustration of a story of a man who had a black dog and a brown dog. And would always come to the market square and tell people, the black dog, you know, when I was growing up, we had four dogs. The black dog was the local dog that we had. It was the first dog we had, and we called it Terror because it was terrorizing. So our black dog was Terror, and then the others were other colors, brown and whatnot, but those ones were Alsatian dogs. But Terror was the wildest. It bore his name. You know, when you say Terror, it was the real Terror among them. The Alsatians were nicer. They were like Oyibo. Nice dogs, and they followed Terror in command. Okay, so this guy will have a black dog and a brown dog. And the black dog looked big and terrorizing, and the brown dog didn't look as terrorizing and all that. And you come to the market square and ask people to place their bets. And say, place a bet, which dog they're going to fight, which dog is going to win. And people will look at it, the black one looks big, looks very wild and all of that. And they place all their bets on the black dog, and the man will tell them, well, I want to tell you it's the brown dog that will win. And everybody thought, this man will lose his money. You know, and then they fight, and the brown dog wins. And people can't believe it. Then the man shows up again next week in the market square, and he says, place a bet. Which dog is going to win, brown or black? And people say, you think we are fools? You know, I mean, once bitten, twice shy. Of course it's the brown dog that's going to win. They place all their bets on the brown dog, and the man says, no, it's a black dog. They say, this man must be crazy. And they fight, and the black dog wins. And he does it like that, and he plays them like that until they're confused. And people are asking, okay, please, how do you know which dog is going to win each time? And the man laughs. He says, it's very simple. He said, the dog that I feed is the one that will win. The other one I've been starving it for a long time, so he has no power. Of course, you don't know which dog he has been feeding. He knows the dog he has been feeding, so he knows which dog is weak. Are you there? So somebody said many people have been feeding their spirits one cold snack a week while they feed their bodies three square meals plus all kinds of snacks per day. Then they wonder why they are weak spiritually. Are you there? One of the ways to exercise your spirit, the Bible says, is praying in other tongues. When I pray, my spirit is praying, but my understanding is unfruitful. So my understanding is not the key one involved. Therefore, my spirit's sensitivity is increased, is heightened. My perception spiritually is high when I pray in other tongues. Are you there? And because I am not feeding my understanding, the understanding becomes subdued. Did you understand that? And that means that anything spiritual I pick up easy, and I'm not easily confused by anything coming from my mind because I've been spending a lot more time engaging my spirit instead of my mind. Are you there? I said, are you there? So you want to know, you're wondering to yourself, I need to make a major decision. I need to know the will of God, or I'm sensing, you know, sometimes people are, it's when people want to get married that they want to hear God for the first time. Abi? They've not heard God before. They've not been bothered about God's opinion. They don't ask him anything before. You know, God was right about anyone who got married. They say, God, speak. You need to hear God in everything. Can I have an amen? In every single thing, you need to ask him. You know, so you need to ask God, if you're about to take on a job, should I take this job? If you're about to move, you need to ask God, should I move? Are you there? I can tell you many stories. Maybe when we teach on how to follow the leading of God, I can tell you many stories about how the leading of God, you know, has come over different things, some big, some very little. Amen? And how you just know that, okay, this is what this is meant to be. And one of the things you need to learn to do is just pray in other tongues over a matter. Just spend time. Just dedicate some time. And just say, I'm going to wait on God on this issue, and I'm going to just pray in other tongues about it. And one of the things you will find out very often is that the more you pray in other tongues, the more the will of God seems to get stronger. And when it's not the will of God, the more it seems to fade away. Are you there? And maybe somebody once said, I don't know why, but that guy, I like him. Or something is just feeling hard in my spirit about him. I want to marry him. I want to date him. But something is just, I don't know, something is just not right. Something is feeling funny about it. And then you set out time. And said, the more I pray in other tongues, the more uneasy I feel about it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The more uneasy I feel about it, you know what? It doesn't matter whether you can figure out what it is or not. As long as that uneasiness is growing, the more you pray in other tongues, God is trying to get across to you that that's not the way. Are you with me? I said, are you there? Where are we? Number three. Number four. It helps us to pray. You know, pray in other tongues means that we pray more accurately. We pray more what? Accurately. Okay? Romans chapter 8. I want you all opening your Bibles. Romans chapter 8. I want you to see this. Because what I'm saying so is because we all read or quote many of these scriptures very often. But I've also discovered that many people did not take their time to understand what it says. Are you with me? So Romans chapter 8 verse 26. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Full stop. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. So I'm breaking it down. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought. So it's not saying we don't even know what to pray for. That's not what he said. Amen. I hope you can see that in your Bible. He did not say we don't know what to pray for. So we know that we want to pray about our family. We know that we want to pray about our brother. We want to pray about our sister. We want to pray about whatever it is. You know, we want to pray about a job. We know what we want to pray for. But it says we do not know what we want to pray for as we ought. We don't know how we should pray for it. Did you understand what I'm saying? That is our weakness. So when it says the Spirit helps our weakness, that is that weakness. The weakness is that we are constrained by our human minds. That while we are praying for a new job because of what is going on, all at the office, all that is required for everything to change in that office is for a new boss to come. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And God's will is for me to be in that place, but I need a new boss. Do you get me? But if I'm praying because the boss is not good, the boss is nasty, I want a new job because I'm not happy on the job. I'm praying amiss. Did you understand that? I'm praying amiss because that was not the plan of God. The plan of God is I should be on that job. But because I'm not happy, things are not working, I'm praying for a new job. But the plan of God is he wants me at that job because he wants to promote me in that place. So what needs to happen really is that I need a new boss. Do you get me? But I don't know how to pray for that. Because I just don't I can't figure that out. So I boycott my infirmity, my weakness, which is that I can't figure it out, by praying in other tongues about the matter. Lord, I'm praying about my office. I'm praying about my job today. Help me to pray the will of God. And then I just start to pray. As I'm praying in other tongues, I am beginning to pray the will of God, which is that God will realign the management of that place. Are you with me? But that is not what I would have prayed. If left to me, I would have been praying something else. Do you understand what the scripture is trying to say now? For likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for the way we should, as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And this is the important bit, verse 27. It says, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when I switch to praying in other tongues, I allow the Holy Spirit to pray the will of God. Are you there? And when he talks about because the Spirit knows what the mind, because he who searches the heart, talking about God, knows what the mind of the Spirit is. So they are aligned. And you want to understand that better, you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 9. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. He said, but these things he has shown us by his Spirit. For who knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man? Therefore, who also knows the things of God except the Spirit of God? So the Holy Ghost knows the things of God, and I allow him to pray it through me. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2 says what? He that prays in a tongue does not pray to men. However, in the Spirit, he speaks what? Divine mysteries. The best interpretation I know for that is he speaks divine secrets. So it's not mysteries that God has hidden away so that nobody knows it, will never know it. No. They are divine secrets. So we begin to pray divine secrets, things that are not known to everybody. They are not open to everybody. However, when I pray in other tongues, I begin to communicate. It's like having a secret language. Are you there? So my son came home. I remember the first time I heard that. And then I said something, I said, Mado. So I said, what? He said, Mado. Are you there? So I laughed. Of course, I quickly picked up on what he was saying. So when he too said something, I said, Mado, the boy started laughing. Are you there? But you can imagine him standing with his grandparents. And he says something, I say, Mado. You know, there'll be a problem. Hey, backhand, front hand, or backhand, you know. Why? Because, but if he says it, even if he's not talking to them, you can imagine him, I'm sitting there, and I say, Mado. They say, are you stupid? Huh? Is it your father you are talking to like that? You get it? Why? Because we are speaking secrets. Are you with me? Because between us, we know what he's saying, and now we laugh and say, "Ah, grandma, chill." You know, but they don't get it. You understand? Because we understand. Hallelujah. He says, so when I speak in other tongues, I'm not speaking to men, but to God. And in the Spirit, I'm speaking divine secrets. So somebody else is standing there and say, oh, what nonsense, shaka waka, what's that nonsense? I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to God. And we are speaking what? Divine secrets. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. So I said number four, it helps us to pray accurately. Speaking in other tongues, why should you speak in other tongues? Number five is an effective way to worship God or give God praise. So Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians 14 again. And you see that I made a lot of reference to 1 Corinthians 14. And that should automatically tell you, I need to go and study 1 Corinthians 14 again. Amen. Because 1 Corinthians 14 was an attempt by Paul to explain how the gifts of the Spirit function, and especially tongues and interpretation of tongues. Whether speaking in tongues or giving a message in tongues and interpreting it, Paul tried to explain all of that in 1 Corinthians 14. Are you there? And in 1 Corinthians 14, I said it's an effective way to worship God or give God praise. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 17 says what? When I speak in other tongues, you should still be in 1 Corinthians 14 right now, isn't it? So it says, when I speak in other tongues, for you indeed, okay? Oh no, let's take it from verse 14. It says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I'll pray with the spirit and I'll also pray with the understanding. I will sing. Can I hear it say sing? He said, I will sing with the spirit and I will also sing with the understanding. I miss that. We used to do a lot of singing in the spirit. We used to do a lot of singing in the spirit in church. Amen. I do it on my own, but we used to do a lot of singing in the spirit in church. He said, I will sing with the spirit. I'll also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you're blessed with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed? Uninformed is a nice way to say ignorant. The place of the uninformed say amen at your what? Giving of thanks. Since he does not understand what you say. Verse 17 is my emphasis. He said, for you indeed do what? You give thanks well. For you indeed give thanks well. So, if you're talking about worshiping God and doing it well, speaking in other tongues or singing in other tongues is a good way to do it. Can I have an amen? Acts chapter 2, when you get home, you can read that. After they began, the Holy Spirit fell upon them and they began to speak with other tongues, the Bible says different people from different places could hear them speaking in their different languages. And the Bible says they spoke of the great and mighty works of God. They magnified God. So as they were doing that, they were magnifying God. They were worshiping God. They were exalting God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You should try it someday. Amen. Just on your own too. And just spend some 5, 10, 15 minutes just singing to him and worshiping him and giving him praise in other tongues. And see how the place becomes charged with his presence. Amen. Number six, and I think that'll be our last one. It comes with an endowment of power, or let me put it another way, it's the doorway to the supernatural. It's the doorway to the supernatural. If you're thinking about the supernatural, you're thinking about walking in the miraculous, thinking about walking in the supernatural of God, then speaking in tongues is the first step. Are you with me? In Luke, of course, Luke 24, he told them, don't go anywhere until you are endued with power from on high. I think Luke 24, 49, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high, isn't it? And then chapter 2, tells us that Holy Spirit came in. Amen. When he said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and it says power, the word power there means dunamis, which means the miraculous power of God. The miraculous power of God. And he was telling them, tarry until you receive the Holy Spirit. And when you do, you will receive the miraculous power of God. And when they did, the very first thing they got was what? Speaking in other tongues. Speaking in other tongues is the doorway, is the beginning, is the entrance into the supernatural, the entrance into the miraculous. So you want to enjoy the miraculous, you want to enjoy the supernatural of God, learn how to speak in other tongues. More and more and more and more. Can I close on this note? God will not be offended if you time it. Are you there? He's not going to be offended if you time it. So if you tell yourself, and even tell God, that I'm going to be praying in other tongues for 15 minutes every day. I'm going to be praying in other tongues for 15 minutes every day. You know, my quiet time, 15 minutes of tongues. Maybe that's too small. I'm talking about a beginner, somebody who was never praying at all before. Or you set a target, maybe you are a staylight, you know. You're not a fresher, you're a staylight. You can set a target. I'm going to pray 30 minutes. I'm going to pray 1 hour in other tongues. And then you look at it. You set the clock. You look at it. This is 4:30. That means I'm going to pray in other tongues from 4:30 to 5:30. And you pray shaka. You pray and pray and pray in other tongues. And you know that you've prayed. Then you open your eyes and it's 15 minutes only. Then you go back and continue. Can I have an amen? And stretch yourself that way. You continue, you continue, you continue. Maybe eventually you give up at 35 minutes that day. Don't give up. Come back the next day. You know, it's like going to the gym. Isn't it? The Bible talks about godliness and compared it to bodily exercise. So basically, it says godliness or being like God is like exercise. That's what the Bible is saying. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. When it talks about godliness, bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness profits in all things. Okay, so it compares it to exercise. So it's like exercise. And I don't know if anybody, I know Mr. J says exercises. I don't know anybody else. Papi sometimes. But if you exercise, you know, that you go in and you say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to run. 5 kilometers. How many people know that the first time you are not likely to do 5 kilometers? But you push yourself, you push yourself, you push yourself. And if the first time you are able to do 1.5 kilometers, you praise the Lord. Amen. But the next day, what do you have to do? You must do at least 1.6 kilometers. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then the next day you said, well, I've achieved 1.6. Now I should be able to reach 2 kilometers. It's 5 that you said you were going on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then you push yourself, and then you achieve 2. Glory be to God. Then you come back and say, today is 3. If I can do 2, I can do 3. Until one day, you're going to do 5 kilometers. Are you still there? So you need to set the targets. Look at the clock and pray and pray and pray. And the more you pray in other tongues, the more you'll find it easy to walk in the supernatural. Can I have an amen? So we've said how many things tonight? 6 things. Okay, so who can help me? Number 1. Because the Bible says so. So 6 reasons why you should speak in other tongues. Number 1, because the Bible says so. Number 2, because it edifies you, builds you up, or charges you up. Hallelujah. Number 3, it increases your sensitivity to God and the things of the Spirit. Number 4, it helps us to pray more accurately. Number 5, it's an effective way of worshiping God or giving God praise. And number 6, is the doorway to the supernatural. You know what you just learned also now? Is that the shortest pencil and piece of paper remembers better than the brightest brain. Are you there? So the person who remembered is the one who wrote it down. Are you there? So just saying that, no, I know it, I know it. You just saw that you did it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's stand on our feet and just begin to talk to God, make decisions. When we teach like this, make decisions. and just talk to God and make some clear decisions about what you are going to do with what you have heard. What are you going to do with what you have heard? How are you going to pray in other tongues? Years ago, God told me pray in tongues all the time. Pray in tongues all the time. Walk in the Spirit. It includes praying tongues all the time. Just do it all of the time. Recently, he reminded me again, and he said, pray in tongues all the time. Do it all of the time. Take it outside, way outside of a quiet time, and just pray all of the time. All of the time. All of the time. What are you going to do? What decisions are you making about what you have heard? Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the privilege we have in the place of prayer. Thank you also for the privilege of speaking in other tongues. Let's speak in other tongues a little bit. Le credo so predista brahaska barakosta. Le gege susto parista predeso fredisto procoso felide brehande. Le gele gele basuko tolo baradise felida bradoso. Branda kela brashta praka boso fredesta pakadele veredusta mambra doso veledingle klegesto pradista fredida paranos legera bashakara bosta mambre kelesi fredisto baladiga raba sata bredeso pradosta fradeste prakabaya legese keke la bashaka pa 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 Yegele bondo, rebela basta, brekele bosta, brenende sekete parasto, mambra baba shaka baya katala baya bahande, lege gusa balenge, lege gusa baradisa, bradise fredista, mambra baba bashe keke raba baba bashaka rabahande, le borobo sendele de sekre bashonda, ne proson fredista bahande, legara baba bashanda la bahande, le boroboso korobosta. The scriptures say, pray without stopping, pray without ceasing. Rebodolobo sekere bashandala bosandala bahasta. Rabasha araba sandele bosoko roboste veledi. Legara bosa predista bahane. Le broso felide prehando socrobos of predista bahata. Lord, indeed we thank you. Indeed we thank you. Indeed we thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the gift of speaking in other tongues. Rabba Shanda Labosa Prahasto Brekishta Brahande. And Lord, I thank you tonight because needs represented here tonight are met in the name of Jesus. Thank you because similarly, it happens for those who watch, listen to this in the name of Jesus. Thank you for a stirring within our spirit also. Thank you because we'll learn to exercise ourselves in this gift even the more. In the name of Jesus. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.